Right. So I want to discuss now the second case, the new case that C moves in this one-parameter holomorphic family. I'm actually going to begin by discussing sort of the most trivial example of such a one-parameter holomorphic family. So what I'm going to do is just take the case that our Calabi-Yau threefold is a product of E times Y, where E is an elliptic curve, and Y is a K3 surface. So this example, of course, preserves N equals 2 supersymmetry. And this, of course, is one of the reasons why it's a simple example. And I'll generalize, after I discuss this example, I'll discuss the more general case that X just has a one-parameter family. So anyway, so in the N equals 2 case, our moduli space decomposes locally. So let me assume, by the way, that our bundle V also respects this product structure of X. So we can think about having a bundle V over Y and a bundle V over E. In this case, our moduli space locally splits into a product of a hypermultiplet moduli space associated to the K3 surface Y in its bundle, and a vector multiplet moduli space associated to E. And now the instanton that I'm going to consider is going to, again, C. So C is going to sit inside Y, and the supersymmetry condition now says that C is a rational curve in Y in some complex structure. So you see, the point of this example is that so if I have this isolated rational curve sitting inside Y, from the perspective of X, I have a trivial one-parameter family just parameterized by this elliptic curve E. And now because this example preserves N equals 2 supersymmetry, and in N equals 2 language, what I'm going to compute is certainly not a superpotential, but I'm going to compute the contribution of an instanton wrapping C to a correction. I'm going to compute a correction from this instanton to the metric on this hypermultiplet moduli space. So
even with such higher supersymmetry, there is such correction?
That's right. I'm about to compute. Even with such higher supersymmetry. And this correction, in fact, we'll see is just the n equals 2 description of one of these n equals 1 higher up terms. So let's indeed compute this correction and see that it can be non-zero. So again, we'll just evaluate the world Bayer partition function on C. So the answer, I'll have the following form. I'm, of course, still just working to one loop. All right, so the first thing I'm going to do is, just for notational convenience, I'm going to effectively decompactify E to C and just consider compactification on the K3 surface Y. I can do this without loss because the size of E is controlled by a vector multiplet, and so the metric on the hypermultiplet moduli space is insensitive to the radius of E. So I'm just going to arrange this measure d6x d4 theta twiddle, this is the chiral measure in 6 dimensions. This is just from the perspective of the instanton, comes from an integral over the collective coordinates of the instanton. And 6 translation symmetries that are broken in the 4 supersymmetries that the instanton breaks. And now this factor psi of C, we again evaluate just by the same sort of one-loop computation that we did for the superpotential in the n equals 1 example. So psi of C will have the same form. There'll be a classical contribution just from the action of the instanton. And then this classical factor will be weighted by a one-loop factor, which again has precisely this form. So from the left-moving bundle fermions, we'll again find the Fapion of the D-bar operator coupled to the bundle on Y. And then the only difference will be that, of course, the geometry of C in this X is slightly different from the geometry of our isolated rational curve. So these bosonic determinants will be a little bit different. So we'll find 3 factors of the D-bar operator coupled to the trivial bundle from the 3 trivial factor, the C3 here. And then there'll be 1 factor of the determinant of the D-bar operator coupled to the normal bundle of C and Y, which is just O of minus 2. So as was asked, we can look at this expression and ask, is this identically zero or not? And you see, with the same, so long as this bundle Fapion is non-zero, this expression will be non-vanishing. And again, it turns out that the condition for this Fapion to be non-zero is again just that the restriction of V to C is the trivial bundle. So this expression can be non-zero. So now, okay, here's what I want to do. This is really the simplest case that we can have of a family of rational curves in our Calabi-Yau threefold.
Sorry, I'm a bit confused. Mm-hmm. You're computing superpotential in a case where solution is not even allowed?
No, this isn't a superpotential. This is a correction to the metric.
Oh, this was metric, so it's not obvious.
Right, this is, if there's this
before.
Right. Yeah, so this is in a sixth dimension. So I'm about to make this point. That's a very good question to raise at this point, because what I want to do is now, as I said, this is the most trivial case of a family of rational curves. So what I want to do is, I've written this in a six-dimensional I've written this in an n equals 2 language here. I just want to reduce this expression from n equals 2 to n equals 1 to see that this already trivial case, this sort of trivial family, generates one of these higher Fermian F terms that I wanted to look for a deformation of complex structure. And we can see, for instance, what this tensor omega is going to look like in terms of psi of C.
So this is very special because all the extra bosonic Fermian generals are just absorbed in the measure.
That's right. So you see, so I should say, what am I? Okay, so let me say another word here. So ultimately, if I do this computation for the n equals 1 case, the local structure of the computation is precisely the same because C has the same local geometry just given by the normal bundle. But the trick in that case is going to be the trick in doing that computation will be to know how to absorb fermion zero modes associated to the family. We'll have to think about interaction terms in the world volume theory on C and what sort of terms can we bring down to absorb those zero modes. Well, in this case, I have the same zero mode structure, but those two extra zero modes are now related to the n equals 2 supersymmetry. So I'm just going to use the n equals 2 supersymmetry to do the integral over those two zero modes, and then I'll extend this result very naturally to the general n equals 1 case.
In n equals 2 superspace, there's more than one measure with just 4 thetas that you can write down. Are you sure this is the Cayley measure rather than there's a measure that's appropriate to hypermultiplets? There are different formulations, projective superspace or harmonic superspace. You sure that? Do you know which kind of measure do you have?
No, I hadn't thought very carefully about that. This certainly should be whatever measure is appropriate to a hypermultiplet. I'm just going to use a very naive sort of description of the superspace measure.
It makes a big difference when you go down to when you do it in 4 dimensions because.
I think you'll see. Yeah, I think you'll see. Let me tell you precisely how I'm about to say how to do that. So I think you'll see that whatever measure. I think you'll see. Well, you'll see what I'm going to be doing. I don't think those subtleties will enter into what I'm about to do. In any case. So I just want to reduce this n equals 2 expression to n equals 1.
And I guess you have to reduce from 6 to 4.
That's right, I'm going to reduce from 6 to 4 as well. So the first thing, I'm going to make a simplifying assumption at this point. I said at some point I'm going to want to decouple 4-dimensional gravity, and this is the point at which I want to do so. So I'm going to assume that my K3 surface Y is actually non-compact. So it's an ALE space, for instance. And the important geometric consequence of this assumption is that my hypermultiple moduli space is now a hyperkähler. If I hadn't decoupled gravity, it would just be a quaternionic kähler, and life would certainly be more complicated. So the fact that this moduli space is hyperkähler means that it possesses a trio of complex structures, which I'll call I, J, and K. These satisfy the usual quaternion algebra and generate an entire P1 family of complex structures in this moduli space. Now let me take this expression and just rewrite it in terms of these variables that I had that were naturally adapted to C2 times x. So delta s is equal to integral d4x and C2 d2y in the curve E. And then these d2 theta and these d2 chi bar, these were the fermions in the normal direction. And then here's my integrand psi of C. Okay, now at this point I said I want to reduce from n equals 2 to n equals 1. But a good question you could ask me is, which n equals 1 do I want to reduce to? Because certainly there's a family of n equals 1. And in fact, I want to tell you that there's a distinguished n equals 1 subalgebra of this n equals 2 that I'm going to pick out. And it's distinguished as follows. So first of all, geometrically, to say that there's a distinguished n equals 1 subalgebra, just means that I'm going to pick a distinguished complex structure on this hyper-Cantor manifold, in which I'll regard it as an ordinary Cantor manifold. And so I need a distinguished complex structure on MH. Now that distinguished complex structure comes from a distinguished complex structure on this K3 surface Y. And that distinguished complex structure is the one in which this surface C is actually a holomorphic curve. So C picks out a complex structure on Y, the structure in which it's holomorphic, and then Y picks out a complex structure on this space, MH, which I'll just assume is going to be I. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this would work, or if this is completely misguided, but in this formula, projective formulation of n equal to superspace, what you basically build a sort of twister mm-hmm. type of construction
yep.
where you have a P1 parameterizing all your complex structures.
Yep.
Could you do it in this language?
Well, I think, I sort of made this assumption precisely to avoid that, because the twister space in this hyper-Cantor case is just a product. So.
It's always a product.
Yeah. Holomorphically.
Even holomorphically.
Yeah. So I precisely made this assumption that this is, so I haven't really thought too carefully, I think that would be the way to think about it physically if you wanted to discuss the case that, I mean, the general case that this is just quaternionic Cantor, and, you know. So I think my sort of naive approach to this n equals 2 measure here is valid just because I'm precisely making this sort of highly simplifying assumption.
Incidentally, you answered the question about the measure that this is the projected measure.
Okay. Okay. I should ask you later, in fact, about that. Maybe tell me. So as I said, okay, so the interesting thing that I want to do, so physically, of course, this distinguished n equals 1 is just going to be the n equals 1 associated to these guys theta and not these guys chi bar. So the integral I want to do is the integral over E, the integral over chi bar. The integral over E is trivial because nothing in psi of C depends on E, so we just do that. But this integral over chi bar, as I said, is non-trivial because, well, in perturbation theory, it would tell us how these zero modes are absorbed by interaction terms on the world volume of the instanton. We're in luck, though, in this situation because we can just use n equals 2 supersymmetry now to do this integral. So what I'm going to observe is that this integral with respect to d2 chi bar is the same thing as acting with my naive version of n equals 2 superspace with the supercharges associated to chi bar, which I'll just call q bar 2. So to do this integral, I just need to know how geometrically how this supercharge acts in this hyper-Cantor sigma model. And so that's easy enough. For instance, I used implicitly that if I look at the corresponding supercharge in my distinguished n equals 1 subalgebra, this q bar 1, I was using at the initial part of my talk that this supercharge acts geometrically as the d bar operator on this space. So now it's easy to see. You can see it directly, or you can just imagine doing an SU2 rotation up here. But these guys, q bar 2, will act. Their action is given by the following operator. So just this complex structure J, which has mixed indices I bar and I, contracted with the double D operator. So I know geometrically how to do my integral now, so I'll just do it. So I just act, so I could say geometrically this thing psi of C, in this case that I decouple gravity, is just a function on the hyper-Cantor moduli space. And so I just act twice with this differential operator on my function, and that gives me this symmetric two-index tensor omega I bar j bar that I introduced earlier to describe the multi-Fermian F term. So here we've shown explicitly that even in this n equals 2 case, we generate this multi-Fermian F term from the trivial family of instantons. Let's see. So now I think I'm going to just say in words what I had a graph of a blackboard about. So this expression, this is a very nice expression. You know, it's a very, very compact description of this sort of correction. But if we wanted to, we could interpret this expression just in world volume perturbation theory. So for instance, differentiating this path integral psi with respect to these moduli in perturbation theory just pulls down the corresponding left-moving currents on the world volume couple to those deformations. For instance, if we considered a deformation of the gauge field A, that would just pull down one of the left-moving gauge currents. And so what this, in perturbation theory, what this expression, if we want to evaluate this tensor omega in perturbation theory, this expression just tells us that we want to compute some sort of current-current, some sort of current-current correlator on the world volume of the instanton. All right. So now what I want to do is, and we could make this very explicit. I would just have to tell you precisely what this tensor J looks like in the hypercalar structure on this moduli space of the K3 surface Y in its bundle, and then we could write down a perturbative expression. I think in the interest of time, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to tell you, so if we did that, then we could take this perturbative expression and sort of, well, the point is that perturbation theory, locally, my instanton doesn't know whether it's sitting inside this trivial family or a family, a non-trivial family in a generic Calabi-Yau 3 field. So perturbation theory, so if we think about doing the general perturbative world volume perturbation theory in the general N equals 1 case, then whatever perturbative expression we find has to reduce to the perturbative expression applied by this N equals 2 case. So that's a strong constraint on what I could, you know, write down in doing my perturbation theory. So let me now just say a few words about what you find if you do the world volume perturbation theory for this.
May I ask a question? Uh-huh. How did you know that this should be J rather than K?
They're just related by a factor of I. So, I mean, I.
I guess this component is just a factor of I.
Yeah, so this is written up to factors of I, constants. So as I was going to say, if we want to think about doing the general case, the generalization of n equals 1, we would just do world volume perturbation theory and look for interaction terms to soak up these zero modes of this Fermion tangent to the family. And we sort of already know what these interaction terms have to look like. If we just think about what this n equals 2 expression means in perturbation theory. Another thing we can do, so of course we can also, if we want to know what these interaction terms look like, people in the 80s wrote down Green-Schwarz actions for the heterotic string that go to high orders in the interactions. And we can just look at these interaction terms and read off the sort of interactions that we need to couple these fermions to the background. So either you can sort of do that or thinking about just extending this result to find the same thing. So let me just tell you what the general perturbative expression for this complex structure looks like. So to introduce that, let me introduce just some notation. This is I'm just introducing some notation in the n equals 1 case for my deformation. So this is if I choose a harmonic representative for this for cohomology classes in here, these are deformations of my bundle. These are deformations of my complexified Taylor class. And these are deformations of my complex structure. I want to write down interaction terms that couple these things, or rather their conjugates to these world volume fermions, chi bar. So let me do that for you. Can I write on this board? Do you think it's visible to people over there?
Yeah, it's just here. There are reflections.
Okay, I'm gonna write these interaction terms right here. These are also one way to know what these interactions. These are just the natural things that you would write down if I asked you for expressions. So on C. Well, there are really just three sorts of interaction terms that turn out to be relevant. So there's an unfortunate proliferation of indices, but I just want to point out a few things. So this, of course, is a Hollenberg 3 form on the Calabi-Yau. So here's our fermion that has zero modes. It couples. So these phi bars are just the background four-dimensional superfields that describe the moduli. And so here are the harmonic representatives for these moduli. And you see the important thing is that these are all coupling to left-moving currents on C. So here's the gauge current, and then here are the left-moving currents that come from the normal bundle bosons. These are, as I said, these are sort of the natural things that you'd write down at first sight if you wanted to look for interactions that you could use in doing this computation, and they reduce to these n equals 2 terms. So anyway, so if we're doing this perturbative computation of this higher fermion F term, we just want to bring down, in our one loop computation, we just want to bring down a pair of these interaction terms to absorb the zero modes of chi bar. And so, okay, the first statement is just that these interaction terms exist and we can't absorb these zero modes. You see, when we do so, we're going to produce a tensor with two anti-Hollenberg indices, which is what we want for our F term. And so let me just say a word about the structure of this tensor, and then I'll be through. So just very, very schematically, what this tensor will look like. So we can bring down a pair of these things involving delta A bar, and it will involve a current, one of the gauge current correlators. We'll evaluate this over the product of C times C. And then at leading order in perturbation theory, the only other term that we can, the only other sort of pair of terms that we can bring down one copy of du bar involving dzy, and then one copy of dt bar involving dzy bar. So one of the interesting things we see about this deformation of complex, this tensor, is that you see, well, it has a pair of legs along the bundle moduli, but it also has a sort of a mixed pair of legs that mix up the Kähler moduli, the complexified Kähler moduli, and the complex structure moduli. So I should say, so this, right. So to conclude, I think I'll say, I'm not going to say anything more in detail about this. The one thing I want to say is that the fact that this complex structure deformation mixes up the Kähler moduli and the complex structure moduli, it may sound kind of like a dramatic statement at first, but in fact, this happens already. So classically, of course, in supergravity, the moduli space is just a product. But if we even go to one loop in alpha prime, it ceases to be a product. So the fact that this non-perturbative result in alpha prime mixes these up is not so dramatic. Let me just remind you of what happens at one loop in alpha prime. So in that case, we have to remember that the heterotic B field has this funny transformation implied by heterotic anomaly cancellation. And geometrically, what that means is that this factor, the exponential of the period of the B field over C, isn't just a number, a function on the moduli space, but actually transforms in a non-trivial circle bundle over the moduli space. This had to be the case because you see in expressions like this, these Pfaffians and determinants transform in non-trivial determinant lines over the moduli space, so this factor has to transform in the inverse line bundle to get so that our partition function can be a function. Anyway, what this means is because this period of the B field enters into the complexified Kähler modulus, it means the complexified Kähler moduli fiber non-trivially as a C-star bundle over the complex structure moduli of X. So anyway, so even at one loop in alpha prime, this moduli, the product structure is... it's not trivially a product. Anyway, but thank you very much for your attention.
Any questions? I have one question. So yes. The n equal to 2 case, so these are basically ALD finding singularities, perhaps with a bundle on it. I don't know what bundle you took. Was it a trivial bundle?
We could just take the trivial. In fact, Edward discussed in some detail the case of the A1 ALE with just a trivial bundle.
If it was not trivial, that would have been zero?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. The restriction of this bundle to C has to be zero.
Okay. Yeah. Now, people did study the erotic string theory near ALE singularities and the effective description of it in terms of matter multiplet and so on. I think when the bundle was there, I certainly remember people studied it. I don't know if there was bundle was trivial what they did, but could you perhaps relate this to an n equal to 2 gauge theory question directly? Because I thought there was a local description of ALD singularities of heterotic strings.
Yeah, that seems. I think that's quite likely, actually. I mean, I do seem to vaguely recall some.
So the n equal to two, but convex structure deformation is a typical thing of n equal to two. But you wouldn't have any higher terms here. In other words, precisely only the p equals to one term here. Higher p's won't arise in n equal to two case, right? It's not allowed.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, certainly. I mean, it's. Yeah, I mean, the higher p's came. I mean, there's no sort of. I mean, you'd have to look for, you know, maybe something like that. The curve had, if you could find a, you know, it's hard to see how you could have higher geometrically. I mean, you'd want a curve that.
No, I suspect by supersymmetry is not allowed. The reason you got before theta, that's basically
right.
You can only have two of each side, and that's the n equal to supersymmetry
fact. Yeah, I don't.
That's special about that.
Right. I don't know. That's right. I don't know the I don't know any n equals two generalizations of these higher.
They cannot be. Yeah. And secondly, the general structure of these higher p's. It's and perhaps you didn't review it, or maybe it's not true. I don't know. But it sounds like you should be able to write as a master in the Fatian, so if you give birth to these fermions in some way, you generate all of them as one determinant, then you just pull out, similar to what you're doing here, I think, which pulls down appropriate zero modes. In other words, if first order Fatian is zero, then you get first mass, second mass, depending on how many zero modes you have.
Yeah.
Is there a way to generalize the term which gives you all of them?
We
somehow generalize Fatian with some VEV into some bilinear fermion?
This sounds like something we used to, when we studied super QCD, we sort of effectively, it sounds like what we did in studying, we studied these higher P's for the mass deformed.
You did that.
Yeah, for the theory mass deformed. And then, you get a term that involves the masses and sort of includes all the. Yeah. I don't know about how you. Yeah.
Any other questions?
Does heterotic duality tell you anything related to this?
I haven't thought very carefully about what duality tells you about these particular things. That's why offhand I can't say.
It may be related to that, at least the n equal to 2 case. It might be related to what is the heterotic dual to an ALE singularity of heterotic strings. So that would be not related to a gauge theory dual. Any other question? Okay, let's thank this guy.
Oh, thanks.